Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Well, why is it that on Father's Day, we get to take care of the kids all day? Oh, spend this special time with your children. And on Mother's Day, we get to take care of the kids all day. How does that work out? I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. No matter how pretty that dancer is, don't let her load you up on tequila. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
If you're a bank teller and a guy in Florida comes in and he has all kinds of weird neck tattoos and long hair that's braided and he looks like he ordered Post Malone on Wish, his name's probably not James Bond and you shouldn't give him thousands of dollars. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the international stolen vehicle ring that was shipping cars out of the country that almost turned into a homicide. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
What would you do for something you really wanted? Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. We'll find out later. Here on Sterling on Sunday.
With eight kids, what did I get for Father's Day?
Nothing.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. More creepers in the ladies' room. Details. People of Walmart. Coming up. Sterling at night.
Tonight. And you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Did you hear about the robbery at the police station?
No.
All of their toilets were stolen. Cops say they have nothing to go on.
Hey, you know what, Sean? Can you play that joke again? Because all night, you and I are going to hear dad jokes. And then I stepped on the dad joke. Would you play that again, please?
Did you hear about the robbery at the police station?
No.
All of their toilets were stolen. Cops say they have nothing to go on.
That was worth it. Don't you think that was worth it? Susanna Huff and the Bangles. Why am I playing this? Because there's a very disturbing fact. Susanna Huff, who you've lusted after for many years, is 64 years old. What? Yes, she's 64 years old, still younger than you, but 64 years old. And the most amazing thing about Susanna Huff being a rich rock and roll star, married to a rich somebody. For years, they've had a happy marriage. How dare they? She looks incredible. Today, you would still want to spend quality time with Susanna Huff, with benefits. Guaranteed. Good evening, I'm Walter Sterling. This is a beautiful night throughout our country, going across I-80, I-90, well, I-90, not so good. The 101, the 4 in Florida, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. I want you to imagine the busiest highway where you live, the busiest highway here. And imagine 10 times that amount of traffic. I-95, otherwise known as the Jersey Turnpike, otherwise known as the Jersey Turnpike, that runs through Center City, Philadelphia. Half of it collapsed. There was a truck under it a week ago, caught on fire, melted the concrete, really melted the concrete, and it collapsed. One hole, one way of it. The busiest corridor in America. Commerce to the East Coast, commerce to Philadelphia and Washington, D.C., commerce to New York City. Commuter traffic to Philadelphia. People living in the suburbs, going into downtown Philadelphia, another argument for working from home. And the vacation traffic going to the Jersey Shore, or even worse, to the Outer Banks. Who the hell goes to the Outer Banks? Would you explain that to me? You got the Jersey Shore. You got Florida. Why would you go to the Outer Banks? Different conversation. When it collapsed, All the official people in Philadelphia, and there's a solid bunch, all the official people in Philadelphia said, it'll take 3 to 4 months to even get this, even to be able to look at it. And I said on the air last week, as did most of the hosts in Philadelphia radio, Dom Giordano, Rich Scioli, most of the great hosts in Philadelphia radio, what? What do you mean 3 or 4 months? Building a road is known technology. The Roman roads, 2,000 years later, are still working in England. You can drive on Roman roads in England. Not even their prime territory, just roads they threw in when their empire got big. But wait, there was a major hurricane in Florida a year ago, and the bridge to Sanibel Island from the mainland of Florida collapsed, was blown away by the hurricane, the tides, all sorts of ugliness. Sanibel Island. Now, the road to Sanibel Island has about 3 commuters a day, 3, 4 tops. Governor DeSantis announced, we're going to build this fast. And he got it up and running in 3 weeks. Known technology, pouring concrete, road, bridge. He figured out, I can get it up in 3 weeks. And you know what? He did. Governor DeSantis in Florida got the Sanibel Island Bridge up in 3 weeks. Okay, so everybody's screaming about, why could DeSantis do this? Why is it going to take us 3 to 4 months? And it wasn't a huge section of 95. It was one section of 95. One section. An easy walk. One way, one section. Now, without that road, commuters, trucks, people going to the shore have to drive through Philadelphia streets. These streets were put there, 250 years ago. Those are horse streets. Now all of these commuters are going through horse streets. And it's going to take 3 or 4 months. We've got a governor and a mayor. Everybody's saying 3 or 4 months. All of a sudden, it's fascinating that the governor of Pennsylvania is saying something different. He's now saying, we're going to have this up and running in 3 weeks. 3 weeks. What an interesting number he came up with. It's going to be operational in 3 weeks. That's our goal. Where'd he get that number? He got it from the bridge to Sanibel Island, fixed in 3 weeks by Governor DeSantis. This is Father's Day weekend. It's the strangest holiday. Because on Father's Day weekend, the gifts that are dragged out are usually lame, or worse, mean more work for Dad. Here's a new lawnmower, Dad. You know, I've been dreaming of this. Here's a new barbecue, Dad. Yes, I can't wait to cook outside with the mosquitoes, and the minute I start cooking, everybody disappears. That second, everybody leaves. Here, Dad, here's a new paint tray. paint our room, would you, please? Imagine if what happens on Father's Day happened on Mother's Day. Imagine if you or the kids tried to get away with the hell of giving, oh, here's just a card, Mom. What? You would hear about it the rest of your life, just as you have heard about the mistakes you made at your wedding the rest of your life. Mistakes on Father's Day, the least desirable gifts. Vent. That's what you get to do here. Anonymously vent. 888. Oh, here's my phone number. Got it? 888-688-9258. The worst gift you ever got on Father's Day. The worst gift you ever got on Father's Day. The worst gift I ever got on Father's Day was the barbecue. Why are you giving me something? Why are you giving me more work? Not only do I have to cook, I have to clean it out. How does that work that I have to clean it out and cook? Could you put away these dishes? Could you take these dishes in for me? Oh, no, no. Oh, no, 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 no. More work. More work gifts. Those are the gifts of Father's Day. Don't tell me about the $1,000 golf club. That didn't happen. That may have been what you imagined, but that didn't happen. Worst gift, not just this Father's Day, the one that sticks in your mind, the therapeutic one, the one that when you look at your wife on the beach and she's walking towards you and you realize that was 24 years ago that you got married and she's walking towards you and it's like the light of truth coming at you. Oh, my God, the light of truth. of the worst gift you ever got for Father's Day. Here's my phone number. It's 888-688-9258. 888-688-WALT. Why can I give a phone number and no other show on the radio at this time can give a phone number? It's because you and I are live. It's just us. It's just us. The person who will answer the phone first is not going to screen your call. He's not going to say, no, he just needs your name. He's not going to judge you. But his name is Sean, and he puts out a podcast that's better than all these other clowns. It's called Sean Talks. Sean Talks. And he's going to talk about the revelations of his life, and it's pretty darn interesting. Sean Talks. So when you talk, talk to Sean. And this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Zahi Hawass.
Don't talk to me. Please go away.
Apparently, a lot of medical professionals don't refer to home births as deliveries, because technically, when you have a baby at home, it's not delivery, it's DiGiorno.
Where a stripper makes her money is not dancing on that pole. It is dancing for you in the champagne room. Playmates Bar and Grill, Miami, Florida. Yeah, and it's home for a lot of really good-looking strippers, including a gal named Yanelin Rivera Fossa. She's 34. She saw, a whale, a gentleman who had a lot of money, a lot of stuff going on, and he flashed an American Express card, which for exotic dancers means no limit. Well, she started loading him up with shots of tequila and making him very happy. Brought in a couple extra dancers into the champagne room there, really give him some entertainment. Stole his wallet. $62,000 in charges. This ain't the first time this happened, won't be the last. Couple of tips. You're going to the champagne room. You're busy hanging out. Maybe you're on a business trip, and Miami's a perfect place to go. Leave the credit cards locked in the safe in your room and have a wonderful time. Because if they get you too liquored up, and let's face it, you're probably letting your hair down, you've been working hard all day, you're out of town, away from the wife. But what are you going to do? You're going to go to the strip club. Protect yourself. Now, Miami-Dade police have arrested Yanelin Rivera Fossa. And she committed an organized scheme to defraud, fraudulent use of a credit card, and grand theft, and, of course, selling narcotics without a prescription. Your private dancer. She's dancing for money. You'll do what she wants you to do once you've had enough tequila. From the champagne room, this is Vila Hool. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
What an honor to have strippers on the loose. Is there any other feature like that on any other radio show? I resent so much when I hear radio people say, well, you know, it's a silly show. Why? Because of strippers on the loose? Let me share with you about this silly show. We talk about things, I talk about things with you that I actually care about, not just about, you know, the op-ed page of the Washington Post. I could care. I have never read an opinion editorial page of any newspaper in my life. And I went to journalism school, which I don't recommend. I went to journalism school. I never read an op-ed page in my life. But I have read your mind. And I have to tell you about that. I had a brain scan this week. I actually had a brain scan. Ooh. I know, as a dad, there are things that you've received for Father's Day that you were very disappointed about. We are conditioned as dads to be grateful for anything, to be grateful for any gift. And usually the gifts dads get, as opposed to the gifts moms get, are work-related. They are things that make us work. A couple years ago, I was given a barbecue. I didn't ask for a barbecue. I didn't want a barbecue, but I was given a barbecue. And then a couple weeks later, they said, well, we should have a backdoor party. A backdoor. We should... No, don't make the joke. A backyard party. And the backyard party, we should invite people over and you should barbecue. Okay, so I get to cook. And okay, so if I'm going to barbecue, are you guys going to clean up?
Oh, no, 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 no. We're too busy. We're too busy. What are you too busy? What are you doing? We have homework to do. You've never done your homework. Don't give me that. We have this barbecue in the backyard because I've been given this gift for Father's Day that I didn't want because I knew it just meant work. It meant that I had to go buy charcoal and that I had to clean up after and that I actually had to prepare the hamburger patties, which inevitably fall into the coals, right? They fall into the coals. I have no idea how to prevent that from happening. We have these people over for the barbecue that I didn't want. I don't want people over. I don't want to have to talk to anybody. I don't have to be vaguely pleasant, because when I'm vaguely pleasant, especially if there's a relative involved, which I avoid at all cost, immediately I say something wrong. And I will hear about it for every Christmas and every Thanksgiving for the rest of my life, just like any mistake I made at our wedding. Any mistake made at our wedding, that mistake you're going to hear the rest of your life. Did you ever get a gift for Father's Day that just was like, I'm going to pretend I like this. I don't want it. I don't need it. Why the heck did they get this for me? My phone number is 888-688-WALT. Vent Therapy, Father's Day Therapy, 888-688-9258. Once more, 888-688-9258. We have this party to celebrate the barbecue that I've been given. And it's a real barbecue, the kind that I have to buy Bickford coals for. And later I'll share with you where the name Bickford came from, because actually it's a fascinating thing, much the way the History Channel would share it. But I will share it in a more interesting way. Now everybody's there. At some point in making the barbecue, I burn my finger. I burn the tip of my index finger. And I actually, it's a nasty burn. Immediately blisters. I have 50 people in our backyard. And I'm the host, sort of, and the chef, and the cleaner-upper. But I have burnt my finger. And now, because I'm such a natural, God-given entertainer, as you can hear right now, I'm like, I can't leave. How could I possibly leave? I sneak into the kitchen. I get a cup of ice. I stick my finger in the cup of ice. And I'm thinking, how far am I to the emergency room? Fortunately, about a block and a half. I could walk to the emergency room. And that is what I did. And that was the last time I ever used the cursed barbecue that I did not want for Father's Day. I want to know what you've received for Father's Day that you have a resentment about. You have never shared it with your family. You don't have to give your name when you call 888-688-WALT. It's an opportunity for you to vent, to share your resentment. Because remember, if you gave Mom the wrong gift on Mother's Day, you would know. Us guys, we have to buck up and smile and express gratitude and thank you so much. But Mom does not fake it. Oh, I love this. It's so terrific. I love these decals for the windows at Christmas. No, she doesn't fake it. It'd be like, what are you giving me this for? Why am I getting this? And then she gets on the phone with her sister. Every problem immediately goes to her sister, to your sister-in-law. Your sister-in-law, the keeper of the hell gate. My sister-in-law is the keeper of the hell gate. Worse, she has a coffee table I hate, which means that immediately, moments later, like a transporter beam on Star Trek, it appeared in my living room. The coffee table I hate in my sister-in-law's living room immediately magically appears in my living room. How does that happen? I want to hear from you live. My phone number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Resentments at Father's Day.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of William Shatner.
Follower bound to a bridge by a fountain where rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. No matter how pretty that dancer is, don't let her load you up on tequila. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
If you're a bank teller and a guy in Florida comes in and he has all kinds of weird neck tattoos and long hair that's braided and he looks like he ordered Post Malone on Wish, his name's probably not James Bond and you shouldn't give him thousands of dollars. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the international stolen vehicle ring that was shipping cars out of the country that almost turned into a homicide. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
What would you do for something you really wanted? Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. We'll find out later. Here on Sterling on Sunday.
With eight kids, what did I get for Father's Day?
Nothing.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. More creepers in the ladies' room. Details. People of Walmart. Coming up. Sterling at night.
Tonight. And you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
This is kind of weird, but I was at the gym yesterday, and there was some cheese working out. Dude was shredded.
Oh, God. Dad jokes. We're featuring dad jokes several times an hour on this giant network radio show on this radio station. This station is so smart, it said, you know, we need to actually air a live show on Sunday night. We're sick of the embarrassment of the annuity show. We're tired of the gold show. We're tired of the gold bond show. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. This is therapy time. Gifts that disappointed you on Father's Day. My gift that disappointed me on Father's Day, they always have a theme, which is work. They always give me more work. 888-688-WALT. Dorothy, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm charming, really.
Yes, you are. Thank you. I'm glad you noticed it, too.
Yes.
Okay, this was, God rest his soul, my husband's last Father's Day. All the kids came to the house. They bought this huge gas grill, and they had lots of steaks and hamburger. And he said, what is this? They said, well, we're going to have a big barbecue. He says, wait, that means I have to work all of Father's Day. He said, couldn't you guys maybe take me out to dinner or something like that? Everybody got mad, and everybody was pouting. So God rest his soul. He was so sweet. So that's what they did to his last Father's Day. So I packed him up in the car.
Is that what killed him?
No, sadly. No, bless his heart. It might have been. Maybe it contributed to it.
All that
I
work.
Packed him up and took him out to dinner. I said, no. And now, you know, some of the kids still don't talk to me because of that. But
really?
I can live with it. Yeah.
Well,
no, they got so mad. So, hey.
Well, and that's the challenge with most Father's Day gifts, Dorothy, is that usually
yep, it
means more work for Dad. Dorothy, what's your middle name?
Jay.
My daughter is named Dorothy Rose, so it's a very special name to me.
And
there aren't a lot of Dorothys. There aren't a lot of Dorothys today, so I respect you. I do. Dorothy, thanks so much for listening to Sterling on Sunday. Thank you very much for calling. Father's Day gifts that have caused you resentment. Father's Day gifts always seem to be more work for Dad. And then the strangest thing happens on Father's Day. On Mother's Day, hey, Dad, why don't you take the kids? Get them out of the house. Let Mom have some special time for herself with her sister. And on Father's Day, hey, Dad, why don't you take the kids and get quality time with your kids? At no time does Dad get what he really wants for Father's Day. Nothing to do. There always seems to be activities that Dad must participate in. Maybe it's a street fair that he hates. One of the secrets of American life is that we hate street fairs. We can't admit it. We can't tell anybody. But as a group, we hate street fairs. Or let's go to the farmer's market. By the way, you know, it is possible to get through a weekend without going to the farmer's market. You don't have to accumulate guilt. You don't have to wake up on Saturday morning and say, yes, I will go to the farmer's market. And I will buy more vegetables that will rot during the week. But I will have done my mission from God to commune with nature in a parking lot in a city with these farmers from suspicious origins and one over there who claims to be Amish. It's the strangest ritual. But the fact is that on Father's Day and Mother's Day, Dad always seems to be stuck with the kids. And then for gifts, Dad's given more work. I was given a barbecue. Gifts that you resent. Gifts that you wish you had not been given on Father's Day. It's anonymous. No one will know who you are. No one's checking up on you. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Coming up in seconds, Father's Day in Alaska.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
Who is the loneliest billionaire? Elon Musk.
Play that again. Can you play that again? Because I almost stepped on it again, and you don't want to miss quality jokes like this. Can you play that again, please?
Who is the loneliest billionaire? Elon Musk.
Keith Fons is our DoorDash driver in Alaska, a regular contributor to the show because he insists. And Keith Fons in Fairbanks, Alaska, North Pole, Alaska. How was your Father's Day?
It's going excellent, spending time with the kids and the wife and doing some work, and they took me out to eat for lunch and dinner.
What did you eat?
For lunch, we had some McDonald's, and for dinner, we had some local pizza.
Isn't it amazing that 20 years ago, McDonald's was a cheap meal, and today it is not a cheap meal?
Compared to the cost of food in the store, it's almost a cheap meal nowadays.
Keith Fons in Fairbanks, Alaska. Review of this once more. What does a gallon of milk cost in Alaska?
About $3.99, $4.
Insane. I can get it for $1.90. Insane.
Wow.
Now, are there any traditions in Alaska having to do with moose or anything else like that that are unique to Alaska for Father's Day?
I don't know about unique just to Alaska, but here they like to do camping. It's one of the biggest camping weekends of the year.
Really?
They like to go out camping and a lot of fishing.
Because to me, for Father's Day, going out for room service in a hotel sounds about right. Going camping, it means I'd have to pitch a tent, I'd have to have mosquito netting, I'd have to have mosquito spray. I'd have to answer the 11-year-old 400 times that no, that's nothing scary out there. It doesn't sound relaxing at all to me, Keith Fons. It sounds like hell.
Especially here. The mosquitoes here is like the state bird, so that does get annoying when you're out camping.
Now, your son was in a terrible altercation in school. Your son was bullied physically in school. He had some injuries. Please share with us, Keith, is he getting better?
For the most part, yeah, he's getting better every now and then, a couple times a week. He still complains of a severe headache, and he deals with that. But in the long term, he is getting better.
I hope to gosh you sue and win.
I agree. Hold them responsible for that.
Yeah, no kidding. The school has taken no responsibility. Somehow or another, your 11, 12-year-old kid is responsible for this. I'm like, it's the craziest story I've ever heard of. Keith, I know you're very busy with Father's Day festivities, so I will let you go. But thanks very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. You and I are talking about disappointments at Father's Day, gifts that you got that you had to grin and bear it. You had to just smile at the kids and say, yes, this is what I really wanted. I always wanted to have a honeybee set. I always wanted to have a honeybee nest. I always wanted this new snow shovel or this new snow plow. This is what I've been dreaming of. Or even better, a new catcher for the lawnmower, a new clipping catcher for the lawnmower. Inevitably, on Father's Day, Dad gets more work. He's given tools. He's given... One Mother's Day, I made the mistake of giving Mom, not my mom, my wife, a gardening tool set. And I thought vaguely somewhere in there she wanted it. But I could tell from the grimaces and what am I going to do with this that's the trouble phrase, isn't it? Isn't it that the trouble phrase when she says, what am I going to do with this? Well, she knows exactly what to do with those things, but she is not going to be the one to do it. It's as though I had given her new oven mitts or a new spatula. Very bad plan. Now, we need a new spatula. We needed new oven mitts, but not for Mother's Day. I know better. You know better. But for Father's Day, yes, give him tools. Give him a new workbench. Give him new pliers. Give him new lawnmowers or hedge trimmers or tools for the car. No man wants those things. I am sharing with you right now. No guy wants that. Does not want it. And that's the challenge of Father's Day. The gifts are limited unless you actually pay attention. Because I believe what Dad would really like is quite a different list. Things that you got for Father's Day that disappointed you. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Live on Sunday night. What Dad wants, mostly, is a day where he has to do nothing. He doesn't really want to do a foursome on the golf course because that's his grandfather who does that. Doesn't want to go out and play handball or tennis. No sports activities. Nothing around the house. Yeah, I'm just going to hang out and work around the house. No, that's not what Dad wants. Does not. The goal of any father on any day is to do nothing. But when I get permission to do nothing on an official holiday, that's ideal. That's what we want, is to do nothing. And we don't want it saved up. It isn't like, okay, it's Father's Day, I'm not going to empty the dishwasher. I'm not going to fill the dishwasher. That doesn't mean I want to do it tomorrow. It doesn't mean to leave the dishes by the side of the sink all day and the litter boxes uncleaned all day, so that on Monday I get the opportunity to make up for lost time. That's not what I want on Father's Day. On Father's Day, I want you to do the litter box. I want you to take out the garbage. I want you to empty the dishwasher and fill the dishwasher while I'm lying on the sofa watching the Pawn Stars marathon, the Ancient Aliens marathon. Because to me, heaven on earth is a air-conditioned room at 55 degrees and a Ancient Aliens marathon. Dan, you're on 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Welcome to the Giant Radio Show, Dan.
Good evening, Walter. You're welcome for my call.
Yes.
Regarding Father's Day gifts, I'm a father of three, and I don't want any gifts. And as far as having a day off, no, I don't need a day off. You got to try to find your moments here and there for downtime, but you only get a little bit because it is a man's duty to always be on duty, especially for the family. That's my two cents.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
It's a terrifying statement. How old are your alleged children?
Well, I'll dismiss that slight insult of allegedly, but I have them. After all, she said they were mine. 13, 17, and 20.
So you're very busy like me. I have 11, 17, and 20.
Well, that's very close, yeah. Absolutely. There's no downtime. I'm a real dad, and husband is always on duty.
In my opinion, from what I've seen in the playgrounds, when I've seen fathers and mothers in the playgrounds, I have noticed that dads like you, and hopefully me, I never take my eye off that kid. I don't go on my cell phone. I don't gossip with other dads. I never take my eye off the kid. I don't do what some idiot fathers do, which is to get on the playground equipment with them. No, I'm not going to get on the playground equipment with them because I can read the sign that says no one over the age of 12 should get on this equipment. But then I see moms, Dan. I see the moms in the playground. They're on their iPhones. They're talking to other mothers. They're making plans for Christmas. They're paying no attention to the kids. In my opinion, a good dad is better than a good mom.
Well, those women have to show all the other women what a good day they're having on Facebook. I mean, Farcebook and TikTok and Snapchat, see? So you forgot about that.
I guess they spend their day filling up the rolls of photos, and I appreciate your call, and I appreciate your friendship, Dan, and therefore I will always take your call. Thank you for calling, Dan. 888-688-WALT. Isn't it that there are all sorts of stupid constructive phrases that only exist on this station? Thank you for taking my call. Callers call and go, hey, thank you for taking my call. Let me remind you of the radio physics. People on the radio die for the calls. They would do anything to get the calls. You don't have to thank them. They have to thank you. Because if you don't call, they have no show. That's why you hear so many bad, lame talk shows who have given up. They don't take calls. They don't take calls because they're not going to get any calls. That's because they ask Esoterica, well, did you read today in The Hill? What? What do you mean, The Hill? I'm not going to read The Hill. Did you read today the op-ed page in The Washington Post? No, I don't get The Washington. Did you see today in The Los Angeles Times? No, I watch TV. I watch the Ancient Aliens Marathon. That's the pass I want. Actually, I want two passes. I want two passes for Father's Day. One is I don't want to empty the dishwasher, and I don't want to fill the dishwasher, and I don't want to empty the litter box. And maybe if you have a dog, you don't want to have to walk the dog today at 5:38 in the morning, do you? And then I have fantasy girlfriends. And I'm so lame, I don't have fantasy sex. I have fantasy girlfriends. And I'll share with you who my fantasy girlfriend is coming up in just seconds. But to cue you up for the next topic, who's your fantasy girlfriend? And if you're a woman, who's your fantasy girlfriend? That'll make for exciting radio and giant ratings. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
I love being in the 18-wheeler with you. I think there's nothing more beautiful than the sweet spot in a long-distance ride, where the temperature in the cab is just right, all the tires feel right, the brakes are working, and there's a love truck stop coming up soon, coffee, bad food, a rest. It's the best time, because here I am 14 inches away from the microphone, and you're 14 inches away from the speaker, and we get to share in a way that no other medium can, and that's why radio is proven media. And that's why it's lasted for over 100 years. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. More creepers in the ladies' room. Details. People of Walmart. Coming up. Sterling at night.
If you're a bank teller and a guy in Florida comes in and he has all kinds of weird neck tattoos and long hair that's braided and he looks like he ordered Post Malone on Wish, his name's probably not James Bond, and you shouldn't give him thousands of dollars. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the international stolen vehicle ring that was shipping cars out of the country that almost turned into a homicide. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
What would you do for something you really wanted? Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. We'll find out later here on Sterling on Sunday.
With eight kids, what did I get for Father's Day?
Nothing.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Cameras in the ladies' restroom. It's becoming as common as peas and carrots being mixed together. Your public restroom should be one of the safest places in the world for any lady. Unfortunately, not even at Walmart. May I introduce you to Lester Jolly of Decatur, Georgia. Yeah, Lester, two counts, unlawful eavesdropping and surveillance related to incidents that happened in the ladies' room inside a Walmart Memorial Drive in that beautiful city. He was arrested. He's been fired from Walmart. Walmart wants to know yet. Lester Jolly, I've been fired. Probably a pretty good idea. All right. I want to give this advice to our lady friends. When you go into the public restroom, realize it may not be as private as you wish it to be. And this is very sad. Very sad all the way around. So a couple of tips. Look around that stall. Look above the stall. Look in the corners of the bathroom, especially at toilet bowl level, before you relieve yourself in the ladies' room. Lester Jolly going to jail, hopefully, for a long time. He won't be the last, sadly. Safety first. For the people of Walmart, this is Vila Hool for Sterling at Night.
My wife always compares me to Ryan Gosling. She says, you're nothing like Ryan Gosling.
888-688-WALT. Good evening. I'm Walter Sterling, KFBK in Sacramento, Bill White's radio station. A world-class dad. Yes, it's true. An honor to be on Bill White's radio station. Oh, and who's that? There's Mark Simone. Mark Simone. You're thinking, who's Mark Simone? I will share that with you coming up in just seconds. I want a free pass. It's Father's Day. Excuse me. Horrible. I want a free pass. I don't want a free pass for sex. I want a free pass for two things. Activities. On Father's Day, I don't want to do anything. But in order for that to happen, that means children will have to pick up the slack. I don't want all the chores that I would normally do on a Sunday to hang around till Monday. I don't want the dishes to be stacked on Sunday and then, oh my gosh, there they are on Monday. I don't want the cat litter boxes to be uncleaned on a Sunday and, oh, it's just, we're hanging, waiting for Monday, Dad, so you can do it on Monday. That's not a free pass. A free pass is that the cat litter boxes are immaculate. The dishes are cleaned in the dishwasher and ready, emptied from the dishwasher. That's the free pass. But then there's another free pass that men want but don't admit. I'm not talking about having sex with a Kardashian. I don't even want to be in the same room with a Kardashian. For some reason, I must be the only guy in America who does not find them to be attractive at all, because every other guy in America has been with them. I don't find them to be attractive at all. No. Men don't cheat for sex. Men cheat for acceptance. They cheat with a woman who they find attractive in every way, who finds them attractive in every way, and there may be no sex involved, may not be the goal. Men cheat for acceptance, to be told, you're terrific, I respect your career, you look great. And they never say, pick up the towel. They never say, make the bed. That's what men cheat for. And coming up in just seconds, I will share with you my two free passes, who I want to be the free pass with, and the activities that I'd like a free pass from on Father's Day. How about you? I'm live on the radio. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Conk.
Join me next time when I go back in time again. Not in an exciting way like in a film. I'm probably just looking at some old pots or something.
For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Oh, my goodness, thank you so much. For our first Florida Story, I want to start with a different James. You know, I'm your host, James Parker. Well, this other James is James Bond. Not from 007 fame, not the secret international spy from MI6. This James Bond lives in Miami. Or does he? Turns out, his name's not really James Bond. He's a fraudster. He stole the ID of a guy who actually is named James Bond, sets up a fake ID, goes in, walks up to a teller, and makes a withdrawal of $3,000. He comes in the next day, and he gets $5,000. Then he comes in the day after that, and gets $6,000. Next day, he comes in, gets $3,500. The teller was getting suspicious, does a little investigating, turns out, oh, you don't say, the guy's not really named James Bond. Okay, now here's the part you're missing. In the mug shot, you could see that this James Bond, or some guy purporting to be James Bond, looks absolutely ridiculous. He's got long hair, and it's frizzy, and it's not really kept up that well, and it's kind of this dark brown, and it's braided up into a couple of ponytails. So, and it's not like cool looking like Tonto ponytails. It looks like Post Malone also in the fact that he has a scraggly beard and he has a bunch of tattoos on his neck, one of which is sort of recognizable. You know how Egyptian gods like to take a dude and just put an animal's head on it? Well, it's the one with the jackal. He has Anubis on his neck. And don't be impressed that I knew that. I Googled it before the show. So this guy looks like a freak show. Big scraggly beard, wild hair, goofy tattoos, and he's purporting to be James Bond. His real name is Austin Swope, and he just celebrated his 22nd birthday, and now he's in jail. This isn't the first time he's gotten in trouble. There is some other charges going back to earlier this spring. There is some more at the very beginning of the year in January, and this is his jam, and I guess he's just going to keep doing this until he gets away with it. But listen, I don't like for you to judge a book by its cover, but, you know, sometimes when the guy has like 2-inch holes in his earlobes and he looks like he's trying to cut a white guy rap album from his mom's garage and he's coming in withdrawing thousands and thousands of dollars on a regular basis and he's just wearing a t-shirt? Is that an OP t-shirt? Go ahead and be skeptical.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Part 2 of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Rubbed some ketchup in my eyes. Now I have hindsight.
Of course, things don't always turn out well for dads. Here's an example.
Britney Spears is slamming toxic allegations about her personal life. The singer is shutting down claims published by the Daily Mail and The Sun that allege that her family and ex Kevin Federline fear she is using crystal meth. On Instagram, in a June 11th post, Britney responds, writing, "The fact that people are claiming things that are not true is so sad."
Now, in your life, has anybody said, you know, I think he's using crystal meth? I think she's using crystal meth. Has that ever gone around the dining room table? Has that ever been a gossip among your friends at the club, at the swim club? No, that's because you're not using crystal meth. Maybe too many Percocets, maybe too many Tramadols, but not crystal meth. Crystal meth, apparently, from what I hear, is pretty complicated. It involves cooking. And I know you don't cook. I've seen your cooking, Karen with the cats. I've seen your cooking, not a good thing. And Mark Simone, oh, my God. Crystal meth is not a casual event. People don't start gossiping. Well, you know, he's doing crystal meth. The vice president of sales is doing No, it doesn't happen. The odds of somebody doing crystal meth and being accused of it are pretty good. It's a pretty good combination. But how would you and I know if somebody's doing crystal meth? How would you and I have any idea that they're doing any hard drugs unless they're not coming to work, unless they're putting up crazy Instagrams, missing appointments with their kids? I'm sure Britney Spears has done none of those things. Of course, we hope she isn't doing any illegal narcotics. fascinating to me that people who do illegal narcotics never start with the phrase, I'm doing illegal narcotics. I'm committing a felony. You know why I've never done illegal narcotics? For the very same reason I never robbed a bank. Did I want to rob a bank? Yes. I wanted to rob banks to have money. Did I? No. Why? Against the law. That's why I never did any illegal narcotics. It's always bizarre to me when I go to a doctor and they run down the checklist. All right, have you fallen lately? Do you feel safe at home? No, I don't feel safe at home. I have three daughters. Are you crazy? Do you drink alcohol? Do you do any recreational drugs? I mean, what do you mean recreational drugs? Do you do any I'm like, those are illegal. When somebody's in your doctor's office and you ask, are you doing any recreational drugs? And they admit to an illegal drug, they're admitting to a felony. And I've said to them, every doctor, every nurse, I've said, why don't you immediately pick up the phone and call the police and have them arrested for committing a felony? If they came in here and said, yes, I robbed a bank, you would pick up the phone, you'd call the police, and you'd have them arrested. I don't get it. And by the way, doctor, if somebody is doing illegal drugs, what are you going to do for them? What is the purpose of that question? These are the mysteries. My fantasy, my free pass on Father's Day, bunch of things. Here are the free passes I'd really like on Father's Day. I'm sure you don't have a better one. I don't want to have to speak to my wife and then make a joke about her sister and have the fires of hell fall on me for, I don't want to talk about that. Your negativity. I'm like, yeah, I'm talking about your sister who wouldn't let us stay in their apartment when we were evicted 8 years ago. Yeah, I'm still holding a resentment about that. Go figure. Or, gee, my kid needs $500 to complete her college tuition, and we can't ask your sister for any money because there's something being planned in the event that your parents die or something. I'm like, what? By the way, to put it in perspective, one sister-in-law of mine is so wealthy. They have a $10,000 a month rental in Manhattan so that their kids can continue to attend school in Manhattan, because you wouldn't want to interrupt them while they're living in Connecticut. They're small children. And they have an estate in Connecticut. What's on the estate? Okay, a big house. Not a huge house, big house. And a giant barn. We'll get to the barn in a moment. And a pond. Now, in Connecticut, a pool and a pond is not unusual at all. The horses have to drink somewhere. The best part of the story is the pond is being dredged. Can you imagine in Greenwich, Connecticut, Bel Air, Beverly Hills, Grosse Pointe? Can you imagine the cost of having a pond dredged? Giant crews coming in there, like the Curse of Oak Island, coming in there and dredging a pond. Can you imagine that cost? And I can't make jokes about it. That's the free pass I'd like. I'd like to be able to make wise cracks about the sister-in-law and her unspeakable husband. Those are my fantasies. What else would I like a free pass from? I'd like a free pass on fried food. I'd like to be able to eat any fried food I want and have no negative effects. I'd like to be able to eat any ice cream that I want and have no negative effects. I'd like to be able to go to the gas tank and it says zero, that I get free gas for a whole day. Those are the free passes that I want. How about you? I'm live on the radio. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. And then there's the free pass of a date with someone I'm not married to. Men do not cheat for sex. Sorry, hate to tell you, they don't cheat for sex. The sex with their wife is great. Sex with their girlfriend is great. No complaint. All sex is great. Sex alone, fantastic. They cheat for acceptance and no judgment. That's why they cheat. They cheat with a woman who they like and respect and is friendly and attractive enough and appropriate enough and who never says, pick up the towel. Who never says, make the bed. Who never says, it's a little hot in here, or more likely, it's a little cold in here. And who never says, no, we're out of beer. She's never out of beer. The woman you cheat with is never out of beer. She comes with a fully stocked bar and a refrigerator full of beer. Just once on TV. You know, there was all this whining and nonsense about the Bud Light change in their cans. I love it when the CEO of Bud Light is saying, well, I didn't know anything about that. Do you think Budweiser can change the design of their cans without the CEO knowing and approving? Of course not. Of course the CEO knew. But just once, I'd like to see a real beer commercial. And you see the door of the refrigerator's open, and all this stuff has fallen out. And there's Tupperware that has mold on it, and strange things hanging from the side of the door that no one remembers how they got there. And then the guy in his underwear watching TV, Ancient Aliens, shouting into the kitchen, Susan, get me a beer. Get me a beer. And she goes, I don't see any beers in here. They're in the back. I put them in the back. All right, I'll look for it. Here you go. It's not cold enough. I told you to put it in there as soon as it got home. Why is it? Wasn't it in there when we brought it home? I told you to put it in there when we brought it home. Oh, I was worried about the milk. I got that in there. Oh, my gosh. What are you paying attention to? I want my beer cold. That's the beer commercial that needs to be made. That's it. The free pass you want for Father's Day. 888-688-WALT. Take your phone calls in just seconds. 888-688-9258. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you, all right? Let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. More creepers in the ladies' room. Details. People of Walmart, coming up. Sterling at night.
All right, if you see two Walmart employees beating each other up and you want to try and be a good Samaritan, you better get to his gun before he does. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part two of Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the international stolen vehicle ring that was shipping cars out of the country that almost turned into a homicide. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
What would you do for something you really wanted? Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. We'll find out later here on Sterling on Sunday.
With eight kids, what did I get for Father's Day?
Nothing.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. For our next Florida Story, we're going to Lauderdale Lakes, which I don't think Lauderdale Lakes has been on the show before, so congratulations. This is your first time. We'll make it special. We're going to mix Florida and this new town, Lauderdale Lakes, with Walmart. And some really bad reporting from the AP. You know, I kind of get used to the local Floridians reporting on their own stuff. And then when you bring in some outside agency, it is so hard for the outside world to interpret what happens in an actual Florida story. So let me just read you the first paragraph. This is from the Associated Press. This is what they're supposed to be doing for a living. And see if I don't do a better job explaining to you what happened here. First paragraph. An off-duty Walmart employee fatally shot a customer who tried to help a female employee who had gotten into a fight with the off-duty employee, Florida law enforcement officials said Wednesday. Did you get all that? What it really means is there's a 22-year-old Florida man who works at Walmart, and he was trying to hook up with one of his coworkers. So when he was off of work and she was still on, he was going to go pick her up, and they were going to hang out afterwards. But it turned out she wanted to work late. They got into an argument, and he actually hit her. Some dude stepped in and intervened. The dude pulls out a gun. He knocks the gun away. The fight continues. Eventually, the 22-year-old off-duty Walmart employee slash Florida man grabs his own gun, squeezes off a few rounds into the Good Samaritan who was just trying to help a lady who was getting her butt kicked. And that's the end of him, and I think Florida man has already been suspended from his Walmart job as well. So no real winners here. Just Florida tragedy all the way around. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
What did the DJ name his son? Eric?
All right. Did I step on that joke? Hello. It was good. We got it. Because, you know, you don't want to miss entertainment like that. 40 minutes past the hour, driving across the country, up and down I-4 in Florida, driving across the country on 80, and trying to drive up and down I-95 on the East Coast, but it's impossible because a small part of it broke down in Philadelphia, in Center City, Philadelphia, right north of the city. Let me explain. If you're in California, you're in Oregon, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. You're in Utah, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. But I have to explain that I-95, the Jersey Turnpike, goes from Florida to Maine. And no, Florida to Boston. It is the busiest road in America. Whatever traffic you have on your road, multiply it by 10, and that's almost as much traffic as on I-95 because it goes through Washington, D.C., Center Philadelphia, up New Jersey, and to Manhattan, through Manhattan. It's incredibly crowded. Huge commerce, used commercial trucks, commuters going into Washington, Philadelphia, New York City, and now in June, the vacation traffic, all the beaches, all the people going to the beaches on the East Coast, they have to use 95 at some
danger,
point.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
And it's packed. A week ago in Philadelphia, part of the road fell down, collapsed, but not a huge part, like one section of the highway collapsed, and in only one direction. Immediately, there were announcements from the officials in Philadelphia and officials in the state saying, it'll be 3 or 4 months before we can fix this. I'm like, what do you mean it's going to be 3 or 4 months? This is a known technology. Road building, known technology, shouldn't be a very big deal. Not fixing it, disaster. Because the commuters, the commercial trucks, the truckers, all of a sudden that have to drive through Center City, Philadelphia, which, as I've explained, is a road, a series of roads built for horses. They have to go through horse roads designed 225 years ago, personally by Benjamin Franklin. Well, 3 or 4 months, you're kidding me. All of a sudden, yesterday, the governor of Pennsylvania announced that they're going to have it fixed in about 3 weeks. I'm like, 3 weeks? Yes, they're going to pour concrete and have a bulldozer and build it in 3 weeks because it's known technology since the Roman roads. But what's amazing is the three-week number. 3 weeks. Where had I heard that before? Oh, yes. The bridge to Sanibel Island from mainland Florida to Sanibel Island, which has 3 or 4 cars a day going across it, was wiped out by a hurricane a year ago. Completely wiped out. And Governor DeSantis says, we will have this fixed fast. And he had it fixed in 3 weeks. 3 weeks. An amazing number that the governor of Pennsylvania has come up with for fixing a known road with known technology, steel planks and concrete. Yeah, it'd take 3 or 4 months. For what? What would that have taken 3 or 4 months for? Free pass. That's the great thing about Father's Day. We should have a free pass on a number of levels, including I shouldn't have to do any chores. I shouldn't have them delayed. You see, what my kids do is they delay the chore. They don't do the chores for me. They just don't expect them to be done today. They leave them around for tomorrow. The litter box, the dishes, it's tomorrow. Daddy will take care of it tomorrow. I want a free pass on that, a free pass on fried foods. I want to be able to lie on a sofa and watch the Ancient Aliens marathon in 55-degree air-conditioned with the blinds down. That's my fantasy. The great episodes such as Nazi UFOs. There really is no higher moment in cable than Nazi UFOs. The promise of cable comes through on the History Channel with ancient aliens, promise of Nazis and UFOs. Oh, and the Nazi bell. Have you seen that episode? The Time Machine Nazi Bell. Yeah. That's what I want to do. So I want a free pass for all of those things. I don't want to hear one peep. I don't want to do any work, no sports, no athletics. But then there's the other free pass, the thing that men actually don't even talk about with other men. The free pass that a guy wants with a specific celebrity woman. A specific celebrity. Men don't cheat for sex. Men cheat for acceptance. They look for a woman who's good enough, pretty enough, smart enough, appropriate enough, who will listen to them and tell them they're wonderful and respect their achievements and never say, when are you going to cut that down? When are you going to fix that hedge? There's a noise in the car. And the engine light's on. When are you going to get the engine light off? And I want a free pass about saying wacky things about her relatives. Now, mind you, she says anything she wants about mine, but I want a free pass about saying things about her, a very, very annoying sister. Very, very annoying sister. But I don't get those free passes. The other free pass I want is with a specific celebrity woman person. And my particular celebrity woman person is Brittany Snow. Now, maybe you saw Pitch Perfect, but probably not. Did you see American Dreams, the show based on Dick Clark's American Bandstand in Philadelphia? That's the sort of thing you're up to. Or when she was in Nip Tuck, the dirty cable show about plastic surgeons who were dirty. She was in Nip Tuck. But first, let's experience the fact that Brittany has had a divorce.
She explained that if they can get through quarantine, then they can go through anything. She added, if anything, it was the ultimate honeymoon because we were just staring at each other for 6 months. Just here it is, you know? In August of 2022, Staniland claimed that his Selling the OC co-star Kayla Cardona tried to kiss him multiple times during filming. Considering his marriage to Brittany, Kayla's attempts at getting intimate with Tyler naturally raised a lot of concerns with fellow fans.
I will roll out my evidence as to why Brittany Snow is exactly the right free pass for me. And I'd like to know who your free pass is. 888-688-WALT. Live on Sunday night, 888-688-WALT. Your free pass. What would you like to do with no consequences? Who would you like to do with no consequences? This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of George Santos.
No, I don't consider the things I've said to be lies. They're what my great-grandfather, Winston Churchill.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. All right, be skeptical with me here. When you see the headline, this is from Lady Lake, Florida, by the way. Cool names for these towns. Man brutally attacked with golf club for walking on cart path. So we go to the report here from News 6 in Orlando.
Investigators say he got into an argument with a man he said walked onto the golf cart path, then hit the man twice with a club, including once in the head. Orobit was arrested on a charge of aggravated battery, but has since bonded out of jail. As for the victim, deputies say he was hurt so badly he had to be taken to the hospital.
All right, for the James Parker rest of the story on this one, what you have here was a married couple who lives on the golf course, and as almost every night, they walk the golf cart path, and some guy with a golf cart comes and honks at him and fusses up. Dude, go around him. In the rare times that I've attempted to play golf, I don't understand why I got so mad. People get so mad. I do too. I don't understand how trying to hit this little ball into a hole that's about 400 yards that way can make you so angry. If you're already one of these guys who's a little violent to begin with, man, maybe you shouldn't take up golf. Maybe you shouldn't take up things that make you so mad you just start whipping 60-something-year-old old couples on their nightly walk. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is it?
For our next Florida story, we're going to Kissimmee, Florida, where, speaking of getting angry, this is another one. You're seeing these people get angry at referees, at sports, and at this one, it is a high school baseball game. And I'm going to let the local TV affiliate, Channel 2, tell you what the heck happened with this one.
A high school umpire is knocked unconscious by an angry parent, and several people watching the game recorded the incident on their phones.
Sheriff Marco Lopez says one of the baseball players caused a disruption and started to argue with the umpire.
So the umpire is, you know, obviously going to maintain control of the game because that's what they're there to do.
When the umpire went to stand near the fence, law enforcement says the boy's dad got up out of the stands, walked to the umpire, and punched him in the head. That hit knocked the umpire unconscious.
You know, God bless all you people who go out and referee youth league games. That is something, the level of abuse that is thrown at these people for what, you know, they're not making money. They're just doing this for the love. But the other thing, the dad that punched the ump, he's fat, and I don't mean like he's overweight. I'm overweight. This dude's over 300 pounds. He might be 350. I mean, he is not even that tall either. So it looks like this little fat, kind of like Mario before he ate a mushroom dude, went and punched an ump. And I am always confused by people who are so completely, ridiculously unathletic, getting worked up about athletics. What connection could you possibly have to baseball or even a 100-yard dash that you would get so worked up about it? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's fourth installment of Florida Stories is still coming up. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and catch past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Australians don't have sex. Australians might.
888-688-WALT. Bad dad jokes. Throughout the show, bad dad jokes, 888-688-WALT. I want to know what free pass you want. I want a free pass for fried foods, the price of gas, and being able to make jokes about my wife's relatives, which he never lets me do. A tsunami will come down if I make a joke about one of her relatives. Mine, fair game. Hers, oh my God. And then the free pass that every guy wants that never discusses it. He never discusses it. Men don't want to cheat for sex. Men want to cheat for acceptance. But it has to be like the right woman. It has to be with the right woman. My right woman is Brittany Snow, who was in Pitch Perfect, American Dreams, and she was in a nasty cable show called Nip Tuck.
Well, isn't this a beautiful sight? Must be ladies' night. Try the bronzer, sweetie. You really need it. I missed this Hallmark moment? Not a chance. So, Tranny, isn't Matt fantastic in bed? Do you squeal with pleasure when he goes on you? I'm not the one dating a dude in a skirt, Matt. Wait till everyone at school hears about this. You won't make it out alive.
She is so cute. So pretty. And, more important, ladies and gentlemen, she just got a divorce. And like all Hollywood divorces, it was announced in a press release, announced on Instagram, announced on YouTube, with the following message. Please respect our privacy at this time. We're going to be best friends forever, and our full focus will be on our dog. Not their kids, their dog. We're both going to be committed to taking care of our dog. But see, the thing about Brittany Snow is there's a bad girl in there. She looks like the kid you want to take to the country club. She looks like the one you want to introduce the mom with the blonde hair and the blue eyes and a job and the preppy Lily Pulitzer clothes. But there's a bad girl in there.
Well, isn't this a beautiful sight? Must be ladies' night. Try the bronzer, sweetie. You really need it. I missed this Hallmark moment? Not a chance. So, Tranny, isn't Matt fantastic in bed? Do you squeal with pleasure when he goes on you? I'm not the one dating a dude in a skirt, Matt. Wait till everyone at school hears about this. You won't make it out alive.
Brittany Snow. Pretty, cute, working. She always has work. And she says things like this.
I'm not the one dating a dude in a skirt, Matt.
Oh, my God. What would be better? Nothing. I want to date with Brittany Snow. No sex, because you know that's a lot of work, and that's a lot of work. Who do you want a free pass with? My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Live on a Sunday night.
Who was this man? What was it?
Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
I'm not the one dating a dude in a skirt, Matt.
Coming up in just seconds, we're going to get our UFO extraterrestrial report from Dave Scott. Welcome. Welcome, my Midnight Misfits. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the international stolen vehicle ring that was shipping cars out of the country that almost turned into a homicide. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Either the paramedics made a mistake when they declared him dead and a few days later he was alive, or Florida just came up with another Jesus. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part four of Florida Stories.
What would you do for something you really wanted? Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. We'll find out later here on Sterling on Sunday.
With eight kids, what did I get for Father's Day?
Nothing.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
My ex-girlfriend said I was too pretentious. Moi?
888-688-WALT. Dave Scott is our UFO expert. There's a lot of UFO news this week, like angry Congress people. Know what? Angry congressmen yelling about where is the information. Dave Scott, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Don't you love Tim Burchett and his angry talk all over where them aliens are hiding?
Well, now you better wait. Dave, and then I won't interrupt you again. You got to explain who Dave is.
Well, Dave is the host of Spaced Out Radio, which can be found at spacedoutradio.com.
No. The gentleman you referred to, who is that that you just...
Tim Burchett.
Sorry. Tim Burchett. Please explain who that is. Thank you.
He is an American congressman, I believe, from Tennessee, who is very, very wild about the UFO story. He is a Republican. He has been known to be very Christian in his ways of thinking. But the alien story really has him up in arms. He is very pro-disclosure. He is someone who wants every secret that the United States military and government has about what we have about UFOs, aliens, alien contact, crash retrievals. And by darn it, he's not taking it anymore.
So Dave Scott, what's his news? What's going on? Please share with us the update.
Well, the latest update comes after all the news that we talked about in the previous weeks, where he is fired right up because he has come out firing that we are lying, or the U.S. government and the military is lying about what we know about aliens, crash retrievals. And he has basically come out saying that if the U.S. government is not going to be upfront with this, that Congress and the Senate really has to do something to apply pressure to get the honesty, because the military-industrial complex really seems to be driving and generating this whole, how can we put it, this whole mantra of don't ask, don't tell. We don't want to talk about aliens. We don't want to talk about it. And for Burchett, he wants to know everything from what's happened at Roswell to where the crash retrievals are being hidden. Do we have alien contact? Have we met with alien species? And he's been going on this for about 2.5 years. But the idea behind it is he is really getting fired up recently because of the cover-ups, especially by NASA and the United States Air Force and the United States Navy, not wanting to give up any videos or information and basically talking tough with Congress and the Senate, saying, you don't need to know. The American public doesn't need to know. Excuse me.
I don't think that it's possible for so many people to know something and for it to be such a secret for so long.
You know what? It is happening, though. That's the problem. The evidence is happening. And with the recent coming out party of a gentleman named David Grush, who worked for the United States UAP Task Force, it's really lit the fire under a lot of people like Burchett, because Grush has come out saying that he has seen the documents, provided documents to the whistleblower through the whistleblower program, that the United States is in possession of craft, and more importantly, the pilots of those craft, Walter, which means we got aliens, and the United States government isn't telling anybody.
It means we've kidnapped aliens.
Kidnapped or recovered their dead bodies from crashes. So what was stated by Grush, which has Burchett fired up, is that the craft that we currently allegedly have in possession has literally been crashes that where the ship is completely destroyed, as well as ones that are fully intact. Now, the question is, how did we get those ones that are fully intact? And the second question is, if they're being flown, who are the pilots? What do the pilots look like? Do they look like humans like you and I from the future? Do they look like these little gray dudes that many people say are abducting them? Do they look like these reptilian overlords from like the television show V? This is what we're getting at. Burchett wants all of this out in public.
Dave Scott, what do you think the odds are of this congressman actually getting all of this out in public? Because one of the things I've noticed about this particular congressman, what's his name again?
Tim Burchett.
One thing I've noticed about Tim Burchett is that when he said he was a congressman, I was shocked. Because he seems like a guy, like a dentist who lost his way. He seems very confused. I don't know if he'd be the most persuasive person on the floor of the Congress.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people who've called him unstable because of the way he runs his political game. He runs it very much that would be considered very extreme right wing. So the fact that he is taking this UFO story to a new level, he's also getting a lot of press from places like Fox, from CNN, from the New York Times, the Washington Post, because he's really the only one who is speaking publicly about this. And sometimes he feels like a person on his own island, on the UFO island, trying to get the story out. None of the other Congress people seem to be supporting him. Very few senators outside of Kirsten Gillibrand and Marco Rubio seem to be supporting this. So he's figuring that this is his voice, maybe to popularity, maybe to reelection, or maybe to be the face of disclosure.
All right, Dave Scott is sharing with us information about how a congressman has gone rogue and is demanding information on UFOs and aliens. Is there a deadline, a date when this information has to come out? Is there a hearing coming up? I'm a little confused about why he's yelling now.
Well, he wants to set up his own hearing. He has not been happy with the cut and paste hearings that have happened so far. He wants to set up his own hearing and ask the tougher questions, like where are the bodies? Where are the aircraft being hidden? Who knows about them? And this is a part of the reason why the U.S. government has brought out the whistleblower program for people like David Grush to come out and feel comfortable. I have heard that there's about another 8 to 10 people exactly like David Grush who are coming out under the Whistleblower Act to tell what they know about UFOs. This is what Burchett wants the American public to know. He doesn't want the pony show that we are seeing on television right now in front of the public. He thinks the American public really needs to know what is going on behind the scenes and what we really know about the technologies that are there. I mean, for instance, we actually may be in possession of zero-point energy, which would literally be a miracle if it ever came out publicly that we have it. So that way the entire grid of the United States, where I am in Canada, could literally be running without any fossil fuels or lithium batteries.
I believe that we have been in possession of zero point gravity for over 2,000 years, because I believe that's how the 4-ton blocks of the pyramids got lifted. There's no other explanation other than a unique use of sound waves or zero-point gravity. There's no piece of equipment today that can make those pyramids. Sure and heck, they didn't do it with copper chisels.
Well, there's a piece of evidence of that isn't even being talked about, and that is the Coral Castle in Florida, which had the gentleman who made the Coral Castle and then moved it. He used some sort of energy that people don't know. He was a meek old man, probably couldn't lift 50 pounds, yet he was caught moving 4, 5, 10-ton pieces of coral from one location to another. How did he do it? He never gave up his secret.
He did give up his secret. The Coral Castle builder in South Florida did give it up. He said, quote, "I built it the same way they built the pyramids."
Yeah, bingo.
Bingo. Dave Scott, aren't you the best? How do we stay in touch with you, Dave? Name of your website.
SpacedOutRadio.com, Walter. SpacedOutRadio.com. And if you're looking on any podcast format, real simple, Spaced Out Radio.
Spaced Out Radio. Even my Midnight Misfits can remember that. And I thank you so much for being with us on Sterling on Sunday. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. It's the time for the Midnight Misfits. It's time for Neil Paul and Judy Paul to stop eating and share with us this magical time. Yes. And Charlie Green. Every week I promise to say hello to Charlie Green, and his terrific kid is doing so well in college. Hello, Charlie Green. Welcome. You are my Midnight Misfits. Would you like to be a Midnight Misfit? I will tell you how to become an official Midnight Misfit and get your name on the radio in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of iCarly.
Guys, always tell girls to calm down, and it never works. It just gets us all whipped up. You see me all whipped up now? It's because you told me to calm down.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowitz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a story about a stolen car case that almost ended in a homicide. So in the early 90s, my partner and I were assigned to the Bronx Task Force Auto Larceny Unit. It's kind of like the AAA affiliate to the Auto Crime Division, where you drive around and they want you to pick off and make stolen car arrests. So my partner and I are driving around Gun Hill Road. We see this Mitsubishi Montero drive past us. I run the plate. Several seconds later, it comes back stolen. We start driving around the neighborhood. We can't find this thing. Finally, on Gun Hill Road, there was this large parking lot / tire repair place, and we saw the Montero parked in the back. We called for our supervisor, and he said, you know what, let's get a search warrant and go in there, and we'll see if there are other stolen vehicles in there. So we go to the Bronx District Attorney's office trying to get a search warrant, and they tell us, you know what, why don't we see if we can get a case going on this place? So what they did was they gave us some camera equipment, and across the street from this place was a middle school or a grammar school. The grammar school let us take an office. We set up some surveillance equipment, and we were able to monitor vehicles coming and going from there, right? So we see a shipping container get dropped off. We see the Montero going into a shipping container. Sure enough, another Montero goes in a couple of days later. We run that plate. It comes back stolen. So we realize now this went from a stolen car case in this large parking lot / tire repair place. They're shipping cars out of the country. But where are they going? So we get the number on the shipping container. We see this company come. It picks up the container and it takes it out to Newark, New Jersey. So what we do is we get in touch with the customs officials, and every time a shipping container with two or three stolen cars would leave this guy's lot, we would call customs. Customs would stop the container before it got put on the ship. We would go out to New Jersey and we'd recover the stolen vehicle. All the vehicles were supposed to go to Antigua, a country in the Caribbean. So this went on for about 2 months, where we just kept intercepting these shipping containers that were destined for Antigua. Well, what we find out is the guy that owns this lot has got a problem. He's getting paid up front $10,000-$15,000 per car, and now these shipping containers are landing in Antigua and empty. So now he's got a problem. because his buyers are starting to call him up and threatening his life. In addition to that, there was a couple of teachers or people that worked in the school who had their car fixed or parked their car there. They're starting to tell him, hey, you know, the cops are watching you. So now he's feeling the heat from all sides. So finally, we took the case down. We went to pull him over. He was carrying two guns. He had a 45 in his waist and he had a 380 in his boot. He was actually relieved when we were arresting him. He goes, you have no idea the death threats I was getting over Antigua. He goes, I'd rather go to jail, which he did. So be sure to check out my new book, Grand Theft Auto, the NYPD's Auto Crime Division.
What do you call a laughing motorcycle? A Yamaha.
Dad jokes. Now, I explained to you that the free pass I want is with Brittany Snow. No man cheats for sex. They cheat for acceptance. For the right woman to say, you know, you're great at your job. You're terrific. You look nice today. You're clearly a great dad. That's what men want. They want acceptance. They don't want the endless string of edits and criticism. Why don't you pick up the towels? When are you going to cut the hedge? Why is the engine light on? I hear a noise. And why does this place stink of cat pee? I don't know. But I know Brittany Snow would never ask me those questions because she behaves.
Well, you're not going out at the club at 2 o'clock in the morning.
No, I guess not. But I guess it's one of those things where you just have priorities and, you know, you work hard. And then sometimes you let your hair down, you have fun. But, you know, people aren't, you know, in our face.
Brittany Snow. She's divorced now, completely available. She works. She always has a job. She's always in a movie, a TV show. She was the star of American Dream. She was the star of Pitch Perfect, the three movies. The first one was good. The second two, not so good. Perfect. Looks like somebody you could bring home to mom, but yet she has a wild side. She has a wild side.
I'm reading. Now I can't say it. So, like, now I'm going to be weird. Oh,
why can't you say it? Is it Fifty Shades of Grey?
Are you reading Fifty Shades of Grey?
Everyone says Fifty Shades of Grey.
Oh, my God, you are, you dirty little bird. No, I got it, and I just started it, and I can't.
I can't believe I was naked with you.
I can't. I am so
scared. I actually got it at Costco, too, which is, I think, even dirtier. It was in a bin of, like,
way more awesome, you mean.
I'm
not
like,
dirty,
cheap.
Way more awesome.
I should just get it.
Oh, my God. I would pay so much money to go back in time and get somebody to paparazzi you at Costco buying Fifty Shades of Grey.
Yeah, and I felt like, because I had gotten, like, corn and, like, spinach and, like, you know, Fifty Shades of Grey.
You got corn?
I like big quantities
of corn.
I like big quantities of corn because I like to, like, make corn on the cob.
Oh, real corn.
She has a dirty side.
I'm not the one dating a dude in a skirt, Matt.
Who's your free pass? The woman you'd like to be able to have a date with. I'm not even talking about having sex. I'm just talking about who would you like to have a date with? Someone who would sit back and go, you know, you're brilliant. Those ideas you have are terrific. Coming up in just seconds. Oh, my number, 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. People have come to America since the beginning because that's how it got to be America. But 20, 30, 50 years ago, the process of getting into America was very different than it seems to be now, where the process seems to be walking across the Rio Grande and annoying the governor of Texas. That seems to be the key. But I've always wondered about people who came from, like, Hungary during the Hungarian Revolt, during the revolt in 1957, 58. When they look at the people walking across the Rio Grande, I've always wondered, what do they think? How do they feel about this? What is their reaction, considering the hell they had getting out of a communist country and coming to our country? Well, I talked to one of these gentlemen this week. I'm going to share that conversation with you coming up in just seconds. 888-688-9258. It's a live radio show on Sunday night. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Kate Littlejohn.
I told you we should have done a sting. It would have taken an hour. We'd control all the variables, get Shales negotiating on the wire.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is Dr. Dave Iser, meteorologist. For the West, cooling continues as a trough digs south along the Pacific coast all week, ensuring an onshore flow, which will keep temperatures well below average inland, but with lots of sunshine except right along the coast in the morning. Keep the faith, though, as warmer weather look more and more likely next week. Let's not forget that the summer solstice occurs this Wednesday. Happy summer, everybody. Sacramento will see highs tomorrow on Juneteenth, only in the upper 70s, with locally breezy winds in the Delta area, warming through the 80s during the week, and we'll see lower 90s in Sacramento by next weekend. Las Vegas has a wind advisory for tomorrow, where winds could gust to close to 50 miles per hour, with a high temperature in the middle 90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser with weather reports at 6 and 36 past every hour, only right here on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Either the paramedics made a mistake when they declared him dead and a few days later he was alive, or Florida just came up with another Jesus. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part 4 of Florida Stories.
What would you do for something you really wanted? Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. We'll find out later here on Sterling on Sunday.
With 8 kids, what did I get for Father's Day?
Nothing.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Two windmills are in the field, and one of them asks the other, what kind of music do you like? And the windmill goes, I'm a big metal fan.
Imagine living in Hungary during the revolt in the 50s. You're in an actual communist-controlled country. You have every desire for refuge. You have every desire to be a political refugee, to escape. But you see, there are two problems. No one's helping you across the border. You have to get across the border, and then you have to find some way to get into the United States. And once you're in the United States, you have to be sponsored, which means somebody has said, I will get you into college or I will get you a job. That's how you get in. But getting out is a big enough deal. I knew enough people like this who made that escape, which made me wonder, what do they think about the wackiness going on in our southern border, where somebody just comes from a country south of the border and walks across the border, annoys the governor of Texas, and they're in. Like, and we're not talking hundreds, we're talking millions, but you know all that. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about the humanity of it. John Zegula, incredibly successful entrepreneur, movie star, worked in show business, built businesses from scratch, but he came here as a poor person. He came here from Hungary, and he's written this amazing book called From Utopia to the American Dream. From Utopia to the American Dream. John Zegula. And John's going to talk a little bit about his feelings after having escaped from Hungary during the revolution, come here, starting from scratch, knowing almost no English, building up businesses, building up a Hollywood career, and writing an amazing autobiography, sharing with you and me what it's like for him to see the shenanigans at the border. First, tell me what you did the minute you arrived in the country. What were the steps you took to establish yourself? And then share with me your emotional reaction to what you see going on right now.
When I arrived in New York, they checked us all in, and everybody was taken by buses to Kemp Kilmer, New Jersey. And we were there, he had relatives in Detroit. You could only get out of the refugee camp, which was a section of Kemp Kilmer, their army base, because of the revolution. Lo and behold, they said, okay, we'll sponsor you as well as Tony, who was my friend. And we both went to Detroit within 10 days, because you had to be sponsored either by a company who hired you as a laborer, or doctors, lawyers, whoever. But he was one of the vice presidents of General Motors. And he was asking me, and he said, would you like to go to a college? I said, My God, awesome. I said, can you prove it? And I graduated from high school. And on the basis of that, he said, I can get you in Wabash College, Indiana. Wonderful place. At first, I thought they were going to take me some Indian reservation because I didn't. Indiana, I thought there was, my goodness, it must have been to Crawfordsville, Indiana. Studied English until the following September and had odd jobs. And
let's sum this part up. You came to America. You were sponsored. You were taken to an army base until they could determine the best way for you to leave.
Yes.
The sponsor then checked your credentials and helped you enroll in a prestigious American university while you were learning English. And I assume it was like a mission for you to learn English. It was important.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I had to.
What was your career goal at that point? What did you want to do for a living?
Well, of course, I was an amateur actor in Hungary as well. And my heart was just someday to get to Hollywood and find out what that word means, Hollywood. I wrote letters to Natalie Wood and some of the other people. And of course, I never got an answer. One of the summers, my good friend, who was a grandson of a former governor of Indiana, but they lived, his father and parents lived in L.A. And that's how I started, actually. And
all right. I want to ask about your Hollywood career in 1 second. But first, answer the part about how you feel when you see people coming into our country today and being put in $300 a night hotel rooms without paperwork, without sponsors, without visa applications. Just come in, get on the bus. Here's an iPhone. Here's a luxury hotel suite. How do you feel about that?
It saddens me. It saddens me because that's not the America I find out when I first came here. When I started applying into the American embassy to come to the United States, they interviewed me six different times, and then they made a decision that I could go. And that's how I got to Salzburg and the rest of it. Briefly mentioned to you, it hurts me just like even as much as if I was born here as a born American. It's insanity. It's insanity. I cannot believe, when I had a large body shop in Los Angeles, after my brother joined me, we started that. And we grew up to be a 45,000 square foot body shop over there.
Wow.
They were all here illegally then. And but this, I cannot understand what is happening today. Of course, I understand because the Democratic Party want to have a lot of people who hopefully vote for them when they become citizens or something like that. I don't know. I can't understand the whole thing.
All right. You're in Hollywood, you start to get part.
That about 600 people applied, all actors, of course, because that's where they could fit about 600 people. In the scene, and it was a scene from The Seagull. It was a Russian play. We chose a 4-minute scene and we did it. And
share one part of the book that would make a listener go, oh my God, I got to get this book.
It's actually two books. One section deals with the Hungarian part of it from 3 years old through the Second World War, the Russian occupation, and of course the escape. And then I came to the United States, and this is where the rest of it, the second half, applies to. I had about 20 different companies. My personal important part of the book is, of course, experience in business to start a solar energy company. But my idea was not to put blue panels up on the rooftops of single family houses, but I wanted to do steam from the sun. I formed the company, and it took us 3 years to achieve that situation where you took the sun's energy and turn it into steam, capture the steam, turn a turbine, and make electricity.
Did you get it to market, John? Did that get to market?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So what's the name of that product? What's the brand name of that product?
The largest one was called Solar, Nevada Solar One.
Nevada Solar One. From utopia to the American dream. From utopia to the American dream. Hungarian refugee John Czingula. From utopia to the American dream. It's a page-turner. It was thrilling to read and to hear him say his disgust as a Hungarian refugee who had to be interviewed by the embassy four times before he was allowed into the United States, to hear his disgust about what's taking place at our southern border. Is that's the real world, not some official spokesperson, not some reporter from Fox or ABC. That's a real refugee. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Coming up, you and I have Florida stories, the Gaffneys, and an old-fashioned radio host. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Jimmy Failla.
The truth is, it takes balls for a man to get ahead in 2023. And if we're being honest, it takes balls for a woman, too.
My wife always compares me to Ryan Gosling. She says, "You're nothing like Ryan Gosling."
John Czingula's book is From Utopia to the American Dream. I put information about it on the Walter Sterling Facebook page, Walter Sterling Facebook page, and my Twitter account is Walter M. Sterling. Join me on both of them, Walter M. Sterling. All right, good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our last Florida story, we're going to Clearwater, and this is a bad story, sort of, but, I mean, this could be the second coming of Jesus.
They pronounced a man dead seconds after arriving to his aid, but the man was not dead.
On February 15th, Phoebe Maxwell found her dad, Thomas, on the floor.
I started CPR immediately. When the EMTs got there, the guy said, "Oh, you can stop doing that now." I says, "No, I'm not going to. He's not dead."
The call was upgraded to a cardiac arrest, bringing more resources. But Chief Scott Eller says Rivero and Pickens instead pronounced Thomas Maxwell dead, then notified law enforcement and went to another call.
When Jesus came back to life, the Romans that pronounced him dead, they probably got fired too. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
This concludes today's episodes of Florida Stories. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. You know, we have eight kids, and today is Father's Day. I actually got exactly what I wanted, which was really nothing, other than each child did say to me, "Happy Father's Day," and I got to give them a hug. That's really all I want.
Okay, so I know where you're going with this. You want to go into the fact that you didn't get anything, but your son made an inappropriate joke that I don't think you should be sharing, and you want to share. And you're waiting for me to give you a reason to say that, and I don't want to do it.
He's seven. He said, "Dad, for Father's Day, I'm going to give you a wet one of these." And I said, "Oh, I love you." And I gave him a hug because I know he was only trying to be funny.
And how do you think like you need to like embarrass the poor 7-year-old child?
When you say wet in front of that, it's always funnier. So
you,
he's got good comic timing.
I don't get it. I don't get you and your funny, like, I don't know how it's Father's Day, you have eight kids, and you still have a 12-year-old sense of humor. Some days, maybe a 4-year-old boy sense of humor.
It sounds like a joke, but every day for me is Father's Day. I mean, really. I love being a dad to all the kids every day.
Can we at least go out and get something to eat? Would you allow that on Father's Day?
We can eat anything you want as long as it's pizza.
What if it's a wet pizza? Does it make that funnier? It does. Apparently it does. You're cracking up because I said a wet pizza.
Right. We got to go. Happy Father's Day.
Actually, I'm going to tell you right now that you did get something for Father's Day. You just don't know it yet. And I'm not supposed to tell you, but I can't leave this segment with anyone thinking that all of your children forgot you, because they didn't.
Well, now I'm like that kid on Christmas morning. Can't wait.
I just hope the package isn't wet.
Oh.
get something you really wanted. Hi, I'm Brad. I used to work at an AM station that also had a Rock FM in the building. A lot of us on the AM side would only go back there when necessary. Going into that hallway was like heading into a different dimension. The rock and roll blasting through the monitors. The jocks always had their girlfriends and other visitors in the studios during their shift, especially after management went home for the evening. One could often catch the aroma of open beer cans and smoke from strange cigarettes wafting in the air. One night I was on a break and I wandered back in the newsroom. The reporter on duty asked me if I could drop the new weather forecast off in the FM studio for her. I obliged and walked it back into that strange counterculture world. What I did not know was that the station was giving away tickets to an upcoming Aerosmith concert. But to win, you had to come to the studio and do something outrageous. Well, wouldn't you know it, two girls came down to the station and proceeded to, I can't really say what they were doing. All I know is that they did win the tickets, and deservedly so. I hope they enjoyed the show. Well, we certainly did. What would you do to win free tickets or something you really wanted from a radio station? Now keep it clean. I'll open the phones after the news and the weather, brought to you by Love's Fresh Lemon.
Maybe she was born that way. Her hair is always clean and shiny, and her face is so smooth. You don't know what it's like just kissing her cheek. Even her shoulders are smooth. I mean, the girl is really incredible. And she always smells like fresh-cut lemons. I wonder if she uses something.
Love's Fresh Lemon products for your hair, face, and body.
Must be ladies' night. Try the bronzer, sweetie. You really need it. I missed this Hallmark moment. Not a chance. So, Tranny, isn't Matt fantastic in bed? Do you squeal with pleasure when he goes you? I'm not the one dating a dude in a skirt, Matt. Wait till everyone at school hears about this. You won't make it out alive.
But I have a dilemma with my next-door neighbor. It has to do with her relationship with my daughter. She gives my daughter cookies and treats before dinner. She gives my daughter gifts without checking with me if I think it's okay. I have to come up with the right language to say to her to keep her friendly. But it goes back to my initial problem, which is that I don't want neighbors. I don't like neighbors. I have no interest in neighbors. And you and I will share about that next week. I need the information from you. I have a fantastic website, thanks to Lee Harris, WalterSterlingShow.com. WalterSterlingShow.com. And coming up, we're going to talk about who is Mark Simone. Mark Simone, the greatest gift you and I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.